This morning, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Isn't it good to be in the house of God today? How many of you enjoyed the message here last night? How many of you enjoyed the service here last night? Well, just a tremendous opportunity to be in the house of the Lord, and He's let us come back again today, and we certainly want to say that we appreciate the privilege of being in the house of the Lord. It's an opportunity that's God-given to be able to come to the house of the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Sunday morning. Let's sing that chorus one more time. Yes, oh, precious. A real good hand clap of praise in the house of the Lord today. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated for just a bit while we look at our prayer request this morning. Brother Daniel, if you'd get ready to come this morning, take us to the Lord in prayer. You know, the thing I really appreciate about Brother Daniel Nunley, even though he's gone through quite an ordeal with his voice and different things, The Lord has still strengthened him to come here and stand at his post of duty. And we want to say we appreciate Brother Daniel Nunley this morning. We certainly do. Praise the Lord. Sister Linda been through a lot too. We appreciate Sister Linda Nunley also, don't we? We certainly do. Amen. Not just picking those two out in particular. We've all been through this and that and ups and downs and ins and outs and good health and bad health. But I appreciate each and every one of you. God bless you. You are a precious congregation of people. Don't never let the devil tell you you're not. You are precious in the eyes of the Lord. And I know you love each other. Is that right? Well, we've got 14 that really loves everybody, and the rest of you ain't sure. How many of you love everybody this morning? Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise if you love him. Praise the Lord. Brother West sends this in. We're still waiting through a lot of discomfort and pain for Emily to deliver her child. Please pray that for Emily and the baby, Ben and the family, that she will be able to have a safe delivery. She is a week overdue, so we're just praying that the Lord would let everything be well with her. And childbirth is a complete miracle, isn't it? It certainly is. We just want to commit them all unto the Lord. Brother Carter Lawson says, please remember a man by the name of Mike Keith. The doctors have given him 3 months to live, so we want to remember him in prayer. Also, he has an unspoken prayer request we want to pray about. My brother Bob Blevins this morning says he will be going to the hospital on Wednesday morning to have my pacemaker replaced. This will be the third time for this procedure. Please pray that all goes well. We just commit that unto the Lord, knowing that God's able to bring him safely through, don't we? Amen. Please pray for Lance and Ellie Parker. Both are not feeling well this morning. We want to pray for their health, that the Lord will just bless them and let them receive healing. Brother Melvin Lynch says that he and Becky would like to thank everyone for your cards, flowers, gifts, your love, and most of all for your prayers. We're just depending on the Lord Jesus to give us grace and mercy, and we just want to commit both of those folks unto the Lord, that God would just bring them safely through. He's able to do that, isn't he? Amen. We just appreciate him very, very much. Sister Georgia Frank sends this in asking for special prayers for my sister Angie, having some serious medical issues and needing God's healing touch in her body, trusting and believing in your prayer. So we just commit that to the Lord. Sister Ruth Ward, not feeling well this morning, asked for prayer, so let's remember her. Please continue to pray for Sister Victoria Thomas. She's at home. They are doing home rehab. Her legs and feet are still very swollen. She still has trouble walking. Also pray for her husband, Marvin, who needs knee replacement surgery but can't have that done until he recovers from his current sickness. So they're just asking that we would pray for them and that family, the children, and God would just be merciful to them. We believe he's more than able to take care of that need. All the unspoken prayer requests, you have a need this morning, something you'd like for this group to pray about, somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Brother Daniel, if you'll come at this time, take us to the Lord in prayer. God bless our brother this morning.
Amen. God's good, isn't he? Amen. I got a request, and my wife says I always forget something, so she writes me a note. So I'll just read the note, then I don't get in trouble. Our son, Stephen, will be leaving tomorrow for 1 year deployment in Korea with the Army. We ask him prayer for traveling mercies. We also ask him prayer for his wife, Heather, and the 3 daughters that will be left behind at Fort Gordon, Georgia. And you know, it's going to be a trying time for women living in the same house. So you men know what I'm talking about. But anyhow, we ask prayer for them, and we pray that God give them travel mercies. And also, I'd like to say I appreciate the church. And I appreciate the people here. How you stood behind me and my wife. And, you know, I think you're the greatest bunch of people in the whole world. I don't care what anybody else thinks, as long as I think it. Billy Sunday said one time that there was 256 names that was given to our Lord Jesus Christ. And he said the only reason that he figured that there were so many names, was that he was so great that just one name could never express what he really is. And that's the way I feel about God this morning. He's just so great. Amen. I just can't praise him enough. Amen. Let's take these knees to God in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for letting us come to church this morning, for waking us up. God, help us to be on the right mind. Oh, God, we know that there's so many things that's taking place in the world today. God, we know that we just couldn't make it without you. God, as Brother Darrell was preaching last night about Satan's devices. God, we know that we are living in Satan's Eden. Oh, God, but we are so thankful that you said that he that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. And God, you said when the enemy comes in like a roaring lion, Lord, that you'll lift up a standard against them. God, we commit everything into your hands. God, now we bring our petitions, our requests before your throne. God, each name in these prayer requests tonight, I pray, God, that you'll just move for them, Lord Jesus, that you'll intervene, that you'll heal, that you'll save, that you'll deliver. God, we pray for Brother Darrell today that you'll bless him, Lord. Give him the words that you have him say. Be with our pastor, Brother Dying. Whoever he is, watch over him, God. Give him the words that you have him say. God, be with our ministry. Help us, God, that we'll be strong in you. God, bless every song that's sung today, every prayer that's prayed. Thank you for our visitors, God. Thank you for those over the internet. Move with them today. God, we'll be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's give the Lord another good hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Amen. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering. If you're a visitor here with us in the service today, we want to say that we welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming the service, may this service be a great blessing to those folks as well. I want to welcome some folks this morning. We'd like to welcome to the service today both my son and my daughter and their families. Brad just recently retired from the United States Air Force. Will be starting his first civilian job as air traffic controller in Branson, Missouri, in a few days. So we want to say, where would you folks be? Just raise your hand wherever you're at. God bless them. Let's give them a nice hand this morning. Praise the Lord. Glad to have you in the service. Praise the Lord. Let's sing an old song of the church, When We All Get to Heaven. How many of you planning on going? How many of you not going? Well, I'll tell you what, you didn't raise your hand that you was, and you didn't raise your hand that you wasn't. Where are you going to stay? How many of you want to go to heaven? How many of you planning on going to heaven? Give the Lord a good hand clap of praise in the house of the Lord this morning. What key did I tell you? G? We'll try it in G. I ain't for sure if that's right or not. Put it B flat. Amen. Let's try it right there. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansion, bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place when we all get to heaven. A day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. Yes, we will. Yes, we will. Amen. It's going to be quite a time. Time of your life. It's going to be the time of your life. And we're having a tremendous time getting there. It's a journey through the Word of God it's unparalleled. We've never been this place before. I'll tell you what, God has got great things in store for His people, and I love Him with all my heart. This morning, Brother Joel Brown, come on up here to the platform. He's going to sing a song for us this morning. But let's sing while he's getting ready to come and sing that song. It's only one reason we can stand here and be what we are this morning. It's because of the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you appreciate His grace this morning? Let's sing that little chorus, Amazing Grace, as Brother Joel gets ready to sing. If anybody asks you where I'm going, I like to hear our brother sing it, don't you? You appreciate Brother Joel Brown this morning, his family. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound of that saved a wretch like me. All your hearts, as you're seated this morning.
If you want to know where I'm going, where I'm going one day soon, if anybody asks you where I'm going, where I'm going one day soon, tell them for me, I'm going up yonder, I'm going up yonder, I'm going up yonder, gonna be with my Lord. Take the pain, can you do this? The heartache that life brings, there's comfort in knowing I'll soon be gone. As God gives me grace, I'll run this Christian race until I see my Savior face to face. Oh, I'm going up yonder, I'm going up yonder, I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. I'm going up yonder, I'm going up yonder, anybody ask you where you're going, where you are going one day, soon. If anybody wants to know
this morning. Bring us the word of the Lord. I know you're looking forward to the preaching of the word of the Lord. Let's just continue to sing a little bit of that this morning as Brother Darrell comes at this time to bring us the word of the Lord. If anybody asks you where I'm going, where I'm going someday soon.
Hallelujah. I tell you, that's a great song to unpack to go home for. Amen. Praise the Lord. Going up yonder. You know, when you get to heaven that day, you're not going to some place you've never been. You're just simply going home. Praise the Lord. What a privilege it is to be a Christian today and to know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. They can lock me in a prison. They can deny me food and eat. But he said I can still go free. Hallelujah. What a privilege it is to serve you. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with us once again to 1 Peter chapter 5. We want to read from verse 8 and 9 and also St. John chapter 10, verse 10. We want to continue on with part 2 of what we looked at last night on Satan's devices, and we trust it to be a blessing to you. We certainly enjoyed studying this and looking at this, and we just trust it to give you the courage to meet your enemy, to face your enemy, because you're going to meet him. You're going to face him. You're going to have to deal with him. You're going to have to back him off of your property. Amen. Amen. So, but when you know who you are in the Word, you can stand your ground. You know, I think it was John Wesley, I believe it was, Brother Dale Smith sent me one time, I believe it was John Wesley, that was preaching about Shamgard, and he said that the neighbors come running over the hill and said, Shamgard, said there's 600 Philistines headed towards your property. Said, don't worry, we're going to go get all the neighbors, we're going to rally them around you, we'll be right back. And Shamgard said, ain't no need of that, they're 400 short. Hallelujah. That's a man that knows where he stands in God's Word. For he said, one could put 1,000 to flight. He said, I've got this, or 400 short. Pray, oh God, give us faith like Shamgard. Amen. To stand his ground. That's what I like so much about Geronimo. You know, I like history, and one of my favorite characters is Geronimo, the Chiricahua Apache warrior, because he was fighting for his land. He was fighting for what God gave him, a place to live. Amen. Amen. I appreciate that. A man that'll stand for his conviction. Because we're living in an hour, you know, politicians, they'll say whatever they want to say to get elected. They'll be for against something one day, and when the public swings that way, then all of a sudden they're for it. Just a bunch of wishy-washy nonsense, no spine, backbone. But give me a man with a backbone. Hallelujah! That'll stand there and declare the truth. Let them laugh at me. Let them make fun of me. God will prove the word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I feel good. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. May the Lord bless you today. The Bible says this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, he's not a roaring lion, but he acts like a roaring lion. Amen. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Peter said, stand fast, stand in your faith. Amen. Now, St. John 10:10, the Bible says this. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I am come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. The thief's going to come, and Jesus said, I'm going to come. Amen. So you'll receive the benefits over whichever coming you believe is for you. Amen. If you believe Satan's going to come and rob you, he'll rob you. But if you believe he's coming to give you more life, you can have more life. Amen. Do you love him? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, we thank you, Lord, for being able to gather here in your name, knowing there's no other name that we can gather in today than the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray today that your word will come, Lord, and anoint our faith to believe every promise of your word. And Lord, there's many needs among us in a congregation this size. Lord, there's people battling oppression, depression, sickness, dear God, marital trouble, no doubt, financial trouble, Lord, job trouble, but whatever it would be this morning, there's nothing here greater than you. So Lord, we look to you today and cast our care upon you, Lord. May you come, Father, and confirm your word, Lord. And may we get the backbone of Shamgard today to draw the sword of the word, Lord, and stand upon our possession that you've given us, dear God. For, Lord, you've given us this land. This is our inheritance, Lord. These are our promises, healing, joy, peace. All these things belong to the believer today. And, Lord, let us take the word of God and drive Satan off our property. Lord, move among your people today in a great way, Lord, that when we leave the building, may our hearts burn within is because you met with us along the way. Lord, bless each one today, the visitors, Lord, all those that are here. May it all be done and said for your glory as we commit it into your hands in Jesus' name. And the bride says, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Now, last night we was looking at some of the devices that Satan uses to try to keep you from believing the promises of God and to try to keep you from seeing who you are in the Word. Because you see, no matter how great the word is, and no matter how great the word's been revealed to us, if you don't believe the word speaking to you, it'll do you no good. Amen. So we see that Satan uses these tactics, and he's used these same tactics for thousands of years. Now, the reason he does that is because these things, these devices that Satan uses, they work. If they didn't work, he wouldn't continue to use them. So then we see that these devices that Satan tries to use and bring against God's people, to some extent, they are successful. Because you see, it's Satan's desire is to keep you from becoming what the Word says you are. But you take a man with amnesia, he don't know who he is. He's caught between two opinions. And that's where the devil wants every one of us this morning. Amen. He don't want you believing that you're a son of God. He don't want you to believe that you're an overcomer. One day you think, bless God, I'm a son of God. And the next day he can bring something and make it look so bad. You say, well, I don't even know if I'm safe. You'll never go nowhere with God like that. But you've got to drive your stake down. You've got to say, I have met God's requirements. I've come according to the word of God. And I am a son of God. I may not feel like it, but I'm not because I'm not a son of God because I feel like it. But I'm a son of God because I met God's requirement in His word. It's not what I feel, it's what God says. Amen. So his desire is to keep us from becoming what the word says we are. Because when we become what the word says we are, Satan's in a heap of trouble. Amen. You see, Satan's not afraid of emotion. He's not afraid of sensation. He's not afraid of screaming and shouting. That don't move the devil. He ain't afraid of that. But what he's afraid of is the word of God. Because the word of God puts the boom on the devil. Amen. So then we understand by the prophet that we're in a great contest. And verse 8 and 9 shows us that we're in a contest. It shows us that Satan's trying to destroy us. But Peter gave us the antidote. He said, stay fast in the faith. Amen. So we're contest between the church and Satan. The strength of Satan. And the prophet said the great strength of God in his church. Amen. Amen. Now this contest, the prophet said, that it's been going on for many years. It started in heaven. And Satan was kicked out into earth and become an enemy to God's people. And since then, he's used all of his strength, all of his strategy, to try to pull God's people across the fires into his fire. Amen. So we see that Satan's strategy, some of his devices, is to get you to look somewhere else other than the word of God. To get your eyes on some other age. Some other time. Amen. Satan would love nothing more than to keep us in 1965. But the word is perpetual motion. God's word marches on. And you must march. Oh, hallelujah. You must march with the beat of the word. Because God's word is a symphony. It's not something that we see. It's something that we hear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. You understand God's symphony. When the drums begin to beat louder, something's fixing to happen. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you love him this morning? Amen. But remember, the prophet said, in other ages, it's always been the same thing in every age. Satan tries to pervert the word to them, making them see some other age. He don't care if you see Luther's day. He don't care if you see Wesley's day. He don't want you to see your day. He don't care if you see what God was or what God's going to be or what God did or what God's going to do. He just don't want you to see what he's doing right now, because present truth exposes Satan. He don't want you to see present truth. He don't want you to see the word for your hour. Because the word for your hour manifested is the light of the hour. And Jesus said, you're the light of the world. Why did he say that? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Because you are the manifested word for this hour.
Oh, hallelujah. I feel that pulsating in me. Amen. They asked me at the youth camp here a while back, said, how old are you, Brother Darrell? I said, I'm 56 at the time I was. I said, I'm 56. They said, man, you don't preach like you're 56. I hope I never do. Oh, when you get into the Word, you feel young. When Jesus come, notice, when Jesus comes, Satan was in that bunch of Jewish teachers and rabbis and priests trying to tell them to keep the laws of Moses. When the very word said that in that day the Son of Man would be revealed, that he would reveal himself. And that was the hour of the revealing of the Son of Man. But what did Satan do to keep them from seeing their hour? He pointed them back to the laws of Moses. Tried to get them to see some other age. Amen. He kept them religious and on the laws of Moses. See? He was trying to tell them that part of the word is exactly right. But this man isn't that person. Satan's deceiving. Amen. You see, Satan hates revelation. Present truth exposes Satan's plans. See, I want you to understand, Satan has been and now is establishing his kingdom in the earth. That's exactly right, friends. People argue and fight and punch each other in the nose over Democrats and Republicans, and they both work for the same boss. It's the craziest thing I ever seen. Well, amen. Well, glory. He's trying to establish his kingdom in the earth. He wants to establish his own kingdom. Now watch this analogy. The prophet says, as a businessman, that's not a Christian, he'll work every scheme he can to make you see something the wrong way. And that's exactly what the devil will do. He'll work every scheme to try to get you to see something the wrong way. He'll tell you, yeah, God's a healer, but he won't heal you. God's a deliverer, but he won't deliver. Come on, somebody. Amen. He works like a businessman. Amen. To make you see something the wrong way. He's got a purpose. He's got a personal gain in making you do that. Making you see it that way. Do you see if Satan can present to you a perverted truth? If Satan can present to you a bluff and you receive that, he's got personal gain. He got strength over you. Amen. God help me this morning to bring that, Lord. Amen. He's got a personal gain in making you do it and making you see it that way. He'll show you everything he can to keep you off from the truth. Amen. You see, he's got a feeling only for himself. No matter how much he lies and cheats and whatever more, he's got a personal gain in doing it. In the last days, the God of this evil age would blind the eyes of the people. Oh, friends, we are living in blind Laodicea. They're so blind they don't even know if they're a man or a woman. They're so blind they're marrying pizzas. Did you see that the other day? A man over in Italy married a pizza. Had a bridal veil on a box of pizza. I'm sorry, that's crazy. He don't realize in 3 days that marriage will be still. Woo, that's a good punchline. Woo, that's a good one. The God of this evil age blinded the eyes of the people with his intellectual knowledge. What does he use? He uses man's head. He uses man's thinking. And that's where man's deceived by. He's deceived by what he sees with his eye. Eve was deceived by what she saw to the eye. It was pleasant to the eye, but it was death to the soul. But a son of God doesn't see with his head. He sees with his heart. Amen. He blinds the eyes of the people with intellectual knowledge on a mixed tree of good and evil, still giving it to the people. Satan, who said, I will exalt myself above the sons of God, and they will listen to me. And he, as God, will sit in the temple of God, and the sons of God will fall for it. That's Satan's desire, is to get you to worship him the way you should worship your God. But if he can exalt his thoughts over God's word, if he can exalt his thinking over God's word and get you to listen to his reason, to get you to listen to his bluff, he will bind you, he will cage you, he will tie you down. But the word of God is a sharp sword, and we can take the sword of the word and cut ourselves loose. Satan's tactics, his devices, but the book of Revelation is exposed to Satan. The attempted destruction of God's people. The attempted destruction of God's people. The attempted destruction. He'll never do it. I said he'll never do it. Oh, you don't understand that all of his tactics, all of his devices, it's only doing one thing for a true son of God. You know what it's doing? It's making me stronger. It's making me wiser. Come on, somebody. It's giving me a greater anointing. It's giving me a greater assurance. Because when he strikes me with something and I take the word and overcome it, it makes me stronger. I preached all my life that God opens blinded eyes, but I never preach it like I do today. You know why? Because I seen it. I witnessed it in my own home. I saw God open the blinded eyes of my daughter. I see it, and I preach it today with greater assurance, Brother West. If ever Dr. Vanderbilt says she can't see, I don't care what the doctors say. It don't matter. God's done proved them wrong. As I said last night, if we would believe God's word the way we believe doctors, oh my God, you talk about a revival. Amen. You know, my wife tells me all the time, you say the same stories, you tell the same stories, but they're good. There was a man down in Greenville, went to the doctor. He's having some prostate trouble. They did a PSA level on him, a PSA level test. You know, the higher your PSA is, the greater chances you have a prostate cancer. And so he goes back to Greenville on a cow farm down there, and they call him and say, sir, we got your reports in. You got prostate cancer. You need to come in right away so we can get on it, because at your age, it's deadly. And he said, I can't come right now. I've got to get the cows in. He said, well, you need to come in the next couple of days. We need to get started on it. He said, I'll be there. The man writes a note. He goes out on his farm. He takes a rifle and he blows his head off. And he left a note to his wife and said, I'd rather, forgive me for being a coward, but I'd rather take my own life than to die at the hand of cancer. But the only problem was about a week or so later that the doctor's office called down at the house and said they made a terrible mistake. The results they were reading, did not belong to that man. They belonged to somebody else. The man had no cancer at all, but he believed the doctor. He listened to the doctor's report, to the thing that he took his own life. But I tell you, when the doctor says, I can't help you, I know somebody who can. I'd rather die believing God's word than to die believing the doctor. Amen. Hallelujah. There's two ways to defeat your enemy. It's to know your enemy. And to know your armor. To know the weapons that God's given you. Satan hates two books of the Bible more than all others. Through liberal theologians and pseudosciences, he's always attacking the book of Genesis and the book of Revelation. In both of these books, we find Satan's origin, his awful ways, and his destruction. That's why he attacks them. He hates to be exposed. And those books he exposed for exactly what he is. Jesus said about Satan, he has no part in me and I have no part in him. The devil would like to prove that different, but he cannot prove it. So he does all he can to destroy the confidence in the word. But when the church disbelieves Satan and believes the spiritual revelation of the word, the gates of hell will not prevail against her.
You got to know how to use your weapon. You can't leave it on the shelf. You can't make an arrangement out of it in your house. You got to use your weapon. When we was in the army, you brothers in the army and military, you know, you train. I remember we had to train how to assemble our rifles without looking at them. How to break them down and put them back together in so many seconds. We had to do it because they said when you're in battle and the bullets are flying and your rifle jams, you've got to know how to disassemble it. You've got to know how to unjam it and get the bullets back in it again. Your life depends on it. Your buddy's life depends on it. So we trained. They took us to the gas chamber to give us confidence in our mask that when we're under a gas attack, that our mask will hold. Come on, somebody. And we need to know God's word. We need to know what God gave us. We need to know how to use the word. You need to take the word and take it to the heart of the enemy and defeat him. The word of God will defeat every tactic, every device that the devil has. The word of God will defeat Satan any place, anytime, anywhere. But my question is, what word? Huh? You got to know what part to use. When Satan came to Jesus to tempt him, Jesus used the word that fit what Satan was trying to do. When Satan comes to tell you that you're lost, you need to go to the word that says, I am elected, chosen, predestinated. Hallelujah. You need to tell Satan who you are. When he comes and reminds you of your past, you need to remind him of his future. Amen. You got to take the word that applies to your hour. The Bible says when David's men thought of stoning him, the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. I don't think he went over to the book of Exodus and talked about Pharaoh. I think he went to the word where Samuel anointed him to be king and said, you'll be king. And he thought, how can I die by the hand of my men and be a king also? So David took what God said. David took what God said over what Satan said, over what his men said. Exposes his devices because Jesus told Simon, he said, Simon, Simon, listen to me, Peter. Behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. It means to shake by inward agitation, to try one's faith to the verge of overthrow. Satan desires to sift you, Peter, until he overthrows your faith. Till he breaks you so far down that all you can see is your problems. All you can see is that depression. Come on, somebody. All you can see, the only way out is to take a gun. And it's just a lie of the devil. Trying to sift you. Trying to sift you until he overthrows your faith. And what the word says, I am a son of God. Amen. You see, Satan wants to remove you from your rightful position by his tactics, by his devices of deceit. But God helps us this morning. We're going to expose him. Last night we looked at his devices of reasoning and bluffing and how he wants to cage you. But this morning we want to look at his tactics and his devices of using scarecrows. Scarecrows. You see, the prophet said the devil is nothing but a scarecrow. He just scares you into something. He has no legal rights at all. Amen. Satan has no legal right at all. He was stripped of everything. Jesus spoiled everything that Satan had when he died at Calvary. When the devil put that stinger into Christ, he made the worst mistake he ever made. Is he still a bee? Yes, sir. Is he still a bee? Yes. But he ain't got no stinger.
Amen. Hallelujah. Satan wants to rob you of your joy. Rob you of your health. Rob you of your position. He's a thief. Brother Ram talked about a man who was sitting on the front row in crutches. And he said, God showed me that night that that man was to be healed. And right before I called the prayer line, I saw a dark cloud come into the building. And it came down and hung over the man. And the man got up, put his crutches under his arm, and walked out of the building. And Brother Branham said, Satan robbed him of his healing. And he will always be crippled. Because he let a dark cloud take him out of the service. Of course, all we need is a bathroom break. Amen. That man would have been healed, but Satan robbed him. He listened to that spirit that told him, you need to go out. Listen, friends, all of us need to go out one time or another. I'm not against that, but I'm saying sometimes make sure what it is that's pulsating you to leave. Don't let the devil rob you. My God, if somebody stole our spinning hubcaps, we'd have the police all over this parking lot. And we let the devil rob us service after service, week after week, and never make a move against him. But oh God, give me a backbone to say, not today, devil, not today. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, Satan tries to convince you that it's God's will for you to be sick. But in the book of 3 John, it says this, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. God didn't intend you to be sick. God made you in his likeness. He wants you well. He's done everything to keep you well. The prophet said, I'm sure it's the will of God that all of you would be well. So Satan don't want, God don't want one person in this building to leave sick. It's God's will for us to be well. It's God's will for us to have eyes to read his word. It's God's will for us to have hands that we can raise and worship him. It's God's will for us to have two good legs that we can dance in the spirit. God wants you to be well. He wants you to be well. If you're sick this morning, I want you to hear this. Write this and put it on your refrigerator. God wants you to be well. Then let me ask you a question. Who is it that wants you sick? Huh? Brother Bam said that God wants to heal you. Oh, I love this quote right here. God wants to heal you 1,000 times more than you want to be healed. Then we see that it's not God that wants us sick. It's Satan. And he'll use anything, any device he can to make you sick and to keep you sick. Do you know in combat, a true enemy, you know they don't want to kill you? Do you know that? When you're in combat, they don't want to kill you. Because if you're killed, they'll just leave the body on the battlefield until they can get it off. But what a true enemy will do, and the Viet Cong were so good at this, they would wound American soldiers because then it would take two men to get the wounded man off the battlefield. Satan wants you sick. He wants to keep you sick because if you're sick, you're not as effective as you will be when you're well. Oh, I wish somebody helped me preach this morning. What are we doing? We are exposing Satan. I'm telling you what Satan tries to do. He tries to put everything in your mind. One of the best ways that Satan can keep you sick is with symptoms. Everybody always looks at their symptoms. The pastor will pray for them and they'll go over and say, well, I don't seem to be any better. That's not healing. That's not healing. That's hope. When you come up here and then you don't get a goosebump or you don't get a certain feeling, then you think you didn't get it. That wasn't healing to begin with. You didn't come with faith. You came with hope. But faith will believe it without a goosebump. Faith will believe it without a sensation. Amen. Amen. That's not healing. Symptoms, that's the worst thing. That's one of the greatest scarecrows that the devil's got, is symptoms. If you got a history of heart disease in your family, you know what he'll give you? A palpation. You know what a palpation is? A double heartbeat. And it'll get right there in your throat. How many knows what I'm talking about? And the devil say, my God, that's what killed your daddy. That's what killed your daddy. Come on, somebody. He used the symptoms against you. He'll show you your symptom. It's one of the greatest scarecrows. Oh, my, that pain, it's cancer. So-and-so had that pain. They were ate up with cancer. Getting you to look at symptoms. Sometimes it's not cancer at all. It's just that Mexican burrito. God knows that's the truth. Amen. Symptoms don't have nothing to do with it. It's not what symptoms say. It's what God's Word says. And God's Word said, I am the Lord that God who heals all thy diseases. Oh, this is a good one right here. Symptoms does not determine your healing. Symptoms does not determine your healing. The Word of God determines your healing. One of the greatest scarecrows Satan has is symptoms. Symptoms is an enemy to your faith. As long as you look at your symptoms, you will never be better. I've had people tell me, now, Brother Darrell, when I don't have no more symptoms, I'm going to testify of my healing. I thought they didn't get it. They didn't get it. When you get it, you'll testify whether you got a symptom or not. Well, I'm going to wait till the doctor says I'm well, because I don't want to put in a praise report, and then I find out I didn't get it. Well, you might as well not put in a praise report. Because you're listening to the devil. But if it drops into your heart right, I'll tell you one thing. I've stood on God's word. I believe God's my healer. When that drops in your heart, you can tell the doctor. You can tell the mayor. You can tell the prayer. Amen. You can tell anybody. I was once blind, but I see. Amen. You see, I want you to understand this morning. Oh, my goodness. I want you to understand this morning that there are degrees of faith. Listen to me. Never measure your faith by someone else's. That's one of the devices that Satan uses. Well, so-and-so got prayed for and they got healed. It must not be for you. But just because they got their healing instantly don't mean you didn't get yours. Are you listening to me this morning? Well, I went up there and nothing happened. Listen, the world wants you to believe that when somebody prays for you, that crooked arm is going to straighten out right then. That crooked leg is going to straighten out right then. But God never said that. God never promised that. He said, lay your hands on the sick. They shall recover. He didn't say when. But the devil wants you to believe if it don't happen right now, you didn't get it. But there are degrees of faith that people possess. Huh? Let me show you what I mean. Amen. Some people have great faith, the prophet said, like this. Great faith. Anything can happen. The next has faith that deep, and it takes a little longer. The next has faith that deep, and it takes quite a while. Some have the faith of a mustard seed. But if it's mustard seed faith, if it's genuine faith, hold on to it. Just keep believing it. Because it'll go from a mustard seed to a marble, from a marble to a grapefruit, from a grapefruit to a mountain. It'll bring you right out. Just stay with the word. Hold on to it. It'll bring you right straight to the light. If you'll stay with it, don't be discouraged. Which is another device Satan uses, is discouragement. Well, everybody's in revival but me, and everybody's shouting but me. And so, yours may be Wednesday night. I got a little thing I've always done. It's called a piggyback blessing. It's what I call it. I don't know what it is, but I call it a piggyback blessing. And what it is when I'm in a service and I see someone getting blessed, you know what I do? I start saying, pour it on them, Lord. Pour it on them, Lord. Saturate them good, Lord. Give it to them good, Lord. And the next thing you know, I'm getting a little bit myself. Hallelujah. That's what we need to do. Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. If God done it for Wes, God can do it for me. If God done it for Paul, God can do it for me. Amen. Don't be discouraged. Don't believe symptoms. Symptoms is the devil's lies. So look at this little lady here laying on a cot. When I told her she was, he said, I never told her. God told her she's going to be well. So now wait a minute. The next day, well, the cancer's still running. And I'm drawn down and I can't move and I'm on this cot and I can't go. Well, maybe second day, third day, fourth day. Well, maybe. Maybe it was wrong. Maybe I didn't get it. You see, if that lady would have done that, she would have died on that cot. If she would have believed the symptoms. Well, he prayed for me. He said I was healed, but I got worse. He said I was healed, but I still got cancer. He said I was healed, but the MRI is still bad. He said I was healed, but I still can't move my arm. So? If she would have believed the symptoms, she would have still been on the cot, dying with cancer. But she wasn't looking at the symptoms. She was looking at the word. One of my favorite ones is John Ryan. You remember John Ryan? He went in the prayer line. He was blind. And he said, well, heal me. Brother said, I can't heal you. You're already healed. I'm not the healer anyway. Jesus Christ is the healer. But you're already healed. He said, well, will you pray for me? So he prayed for him and said, you're healed. Go on your way rejoicing. He went out. You know what he did? He got back in the prayer line and he came back up to the prophet. And he said, what are you doing here? He said, I'm blind. He said, you said I was healed, but I can't see. Brother Bram said, you believed me. So did he really believe? Oh, it's so easy to say we believe, but do we really believe? Do we really believe? You said I was healed. He said, you believed me. He said, well, what must I do? He said, go off this platform rejoicing, thanking God for your healing. Rebbe said he got off the platform and he turned around. And he said, everybody be still. Praise God, I'm healed. Said he came back to the service the next night. Five times he interrupted the service. Stood up and said, everybody. Praise God, I'm healed. Said the usher started going to him. And I said, no, leave him alone. He's having a good time. And he got down on the street. He sold newspapers. And he had an air, and he's holding up a paper. He said, extra, extra. Praise God, I'm healed. Extra, extra. Praise God, I'm healed. You know what the people said? Poor fellow's lost his mind. He needs to be in an institution. He says he can see and he's blinder than a bat. But he got another little newspaper boy to help him over to the barber shop. And he sat down in the chair and they put the, what's that called? They put that thing over you, the barber's apron or whatever that thing is. A sheet or something, I don't know. A little smart aleck barber. Said, say, Dad, I heard you's up there at that healing meeting. Said, yep. I went up to see him. Said, I heard you got healed, Dad. Said, yep, praise God, he healed me. And about that time, his eyes come open. And he jumped up and said, I really am healed. And down the street he went running. And the barber was running behind him because he only shaved half of his face. But oh, hallelujah, that's what we need. Give us John Ryan faith. We believe God expresses his word. He says it's done. Before it's done, when you understand it, you can say it's over before it's ever over. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things that we can't see. Taste, feel, smell, hear. None of that's faith. Amen. It's what you expect when you believe with your heart. It's what you expect when you believe with your heart. Don't look at symptoms. If you look at symptoms, you're sure to be lost. You see, Satan wants you to look at symptoms. Because symptoms will always keep you sick. Any man who looked to the natural things, well, the doctor said it's the worst case he ever saw. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you a little secret. I worked in surgery for about 15, 16 years at the VA. I've done thousands of operations. I operated on some people who used to go to this church. It wasn't because I operated on them that they used to go. But let me clarify that a little bit. But what I'm trying to say is this. I've seen the doctors tell them, patient after patient, that's the worst gallbladder I've ever seen in my life. We got it just in time. And they go home and they tell everybody, the doctor said I had the worst gallbladder they ever seen. But he don't know. He told the same guy the same thing the day before. Amen. I can tell you some doctor stories. Amen. If you look at the natural things, if you look at the doctor's report, if you look at the MRI, when they showed us Jessica's MRI, her brain was damaged so bad and they showed us this is why she can't see. But I thought, I don't look at what the MRI says. I don't look at the doctor's report. I look at Isaiah's report. You might be prayed for. You might come here. You see powers and miracles of God. And you go back and the first thing you know, you feel bad the next day. And maybe this next day you're sicker. This next day something else happens. Well, you don't know. Don't you understand, friends? That has nothing to do. That has nothing to do with your healing. Remember the boy with the epileptics? And Jesus prayed for him. He had the worst epileptic fit he had ever had in his life. But he was healed. Well, Gloria, you're getting tired. I feel you pulling back. You see, your faith is not in symptoms. It's in God. It's believing what God says. Listen to this in a prayer line. Now you do as I say. Go on now. Don't even think about your kidney trouble no more. It's going to leave you now. I tell you what. Now, you may have symptoms for at least, 8 or 10 days. That burning and so forth and the weakness. But that'll clear up now and you'll be all right. You go and God bless you. He said, now listen to me. You're healed, but you're going to have symptoms for at least 8 to 10 days. But then it'll clear up. Don't consider the symptoms, because the word says you're healed. Satan's scarecrow of symptoms. Amen. Symptoms is one of the greatest hindrances that God has to work with. If anything that is wrong is a man or a woman who'll look and say, now I don't feel any better. Now they prayed for me over at the church last night. They believe in divine healing, but really I don't even feel any better. You never go by your feelings. Jesus never said, did you feel it? But he did say, did you believe it? You see where we get the thing all turned around. It's your faith in the promise that does it. Keeping your eyes on the promise. Amen. Let's just bypass some of this. Listen to me. If there was ever a man in the Bible that had symptoms, it was Jonah. You see, people get prayed for and they look at their hand and say, well, my hand isn't even better. It's no better. I still got that limp. That doesn't mean you're not healed. And frankly, see, when you're prayed for, you're healed. And frankly, you're healed before you're ever prayed for. Jesus died at Calvary to heal you. But what does prayer do? It makes you God conscious of something that he's already done for you. It lifts your faith up to receive what's already been done for you. If anybody ever had symptoms, it was Jonah. He was backslid. His hands and feet were tied. He was thrown into an ocean, swallowed by a fish. And the fish went right down to the bottom of the ocean and laid there. You talk about symptoms. He had a lot of symptoms. But you know what Jonah said? They're lying vanities. I won't look at the whale's belly. I won't look. I won't look at this. I won't look at that. I'll look to God's word. If you look to God's word, symptoms has to vanish. Jonah backslid in the belly of a whale, 5 miles deep, whale's belly all around him. But he could look towards an earthly temple through a prayer of an earthly man that had been prayed and believe that God heard it. If he could do that and be delivered from a whale's belly, how much more ought you and I as Christians, bound with diseases, look towards heaven where Christ sits on the right hand of God with his own blood making intercessions for anything we have need of. Symptoms are lying vanities. Don't receive them. Don't have nothing to do with them. If you look to symptoms, you're looking away from God. Look to the unseen. Not what we see with our eyes, but what we see with our heart. You've got to believe the things that's unseen. For it's by faith you're healed and not by sight. Satan's scarecrows. Let's look at one more. We'll close. Scarecrows. The devil hates me. And the devil hates you. The devil is our enemy. I know people think the devil ain't real. But he's real. He's a real enemy. Amen. But you see, no matter how much Satan hates me, if God is my friend, I don't have to fear Satan. I can just take the word and drive him right on back. For the word of God will move him out of the place he thinks he's holding in my life. Let me say that again. The word of God will move him out of the place he thinks he's holding in my life. The devil has got not one legal right nowhere. He's just a devil. Any man that'll accept the promises of Jesus Christ will accept what Christ done for him. The devil's whipped. He's whipped in sickness. He's whipped in death. He can't scare you when you stand on the word of God. He's nothing but a big old shadow. You see, the only strength Satan has is the strength you give him. Satan's scarecrows of fear and scare. You see, a scarecrow is a decoy. It's a mannequin, often in the shape of a human. Scarecrows are usually dressed in old clothes, placed in open field to discourage birds from disturbing the feeding on casted seed or growing crops. You know, the first scarecrows was used 3,000 years ago by the Egyptians to keep the quail out of their wheat on the Nile River. So scarecrows have been around 3,000 years. Why do you reckon they've been around that long? Because they work. Why does Satan use scarecrows? Because they work. Where does a farmer place a scarecrow? Anybody ever seen a scarecrow in a weed patch? He places a scarecrow where the good stuff is. He puts all kinds of scarecrows around the real thing. When you've got the real thing, that's where the scarecrows rise. Oh, that's a cult. You better watch out. They're following a man. They quote from a dead man. Are you serious? They read every week out of Peter, out of John. I don't know. I ain't too smart, but I think Peter's been dead a few thousand years. And they accuse me of quoting from a dead man? Nonsense! Nothing but a scarecrow! Well, there ain't no newspaper article. Well, that cloud, it was formed by jet fuel. What? You mean to tell me a rocket can go up and form a cloud that looks like Jesus? My God, that takes more faith to believe that than to believe that God put it there supernaturally. Come on, somebody, that's a bunch of nonsense. Nothing but a scarecrow. Huh? When you see a scarecrow, that's just the evidence that God's got something good there that the devil don't want you to have. He don't want you to have healing. He don't want you to have joy. He wants you to have fear and scare and depression. But Jesus said, I have come that ye may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. He tries to control you by fear. But let's just close. I got a bunch more, but we'll close with this. Let's learn a lesson this morning from a groundhog. The prophet said he was planting butter beans. And he no more soon got them planted than a groundhog come up out of his hole, started digging up the seed and eating it. He was eating it faster than he could plant it. So he said, I thought I'll scare the life out of him. And he took a bag and painted an ugly face on it, and he put some butter bean seeds in it, and he placed it on a stick. And so when the wind blew, it would rattle. And he said, I got back to watching with binoculars. He said, here he came up out of that hole, seeing what was planted. He said, he come down through that row, and all of a sudden he saw it. And he stopped. And he backed up. He said, I was watching him. He said, he got a little bit closer, and he took his hand, and he swatted it. And it rattled, and he jumped back. And he got up a little bit closer, and he looked at it again. He tapped it again. It done the same thing. You know why? Because it was dead. All scarecrows are dead. And he swatted it again. Said he got back and he looked at it. Said he just went right around it and started eating beans. Because he realized. It was nothing but a scarecrow. Oh, you better be careful. You're going to get into the flesh. Honey, I ain't trying to get in the flesh. I'm trying to get out of it. Oh, you better be careful. They're trying to take you back to Pentecost. That's where I need to go. I need to go back to the original Pentecost. Oh, you better listen to me now. I know somebody who trusted in divine healing and they died. So, I know somebody that trusted in doctors, and they died. God's truth. That's the God's truth, friends. I'm not against doctors. I go to doctors. I believe them. But when the doctor says they can't help me, I know somebody who can. When the doctor said they can't heal me, I know somebody who can. But one of the hardest things is to get people not to look at the scarecrow, but to look at God's promises. I am the Lord thy God who healeth all thy diseases. When you see an old scarecrow out there, don't be afraid.
Just see it as a dinner bill. If you can ever get the scare out of the church and let them realize who they are and what they are positionally, healing will be the simplest message that'll ever be preached or anything else. But you're scared. You're afraid. You don't realize that you're sons and daughters of God. And now, not will be, but you are now. Not way off in the future somewhere. Well, someday, some happy day. I don't need it someday. I need it today. Not some future event, but right now. I need a God with skin on Him right now. It's not we're going to be sons and daughters of God. Come to the instruments, the musicians, we'll close. It's not what we're going to be, it's what we are now. The devil is trying to scare you out of something. He's trying to put you off somewhere else and say, some of these days you'll be this, some of these days you'll be that. One day you'll be healed. But I say, why not today? Brother Bram said, I didn't come to mix up a doctrine. I come to straighten one out, to get away from all this fear and all this scare that you don't know who you are. You're not going to be. You are now sons and daughters of God. You always were sons and daughters of God. But the opening of the word, why are the seals open? The seals didn't open just to tell us who Malachi 4 was, but the seals were open to tell us who we are. It gives us our true identity. And the Bible says, as sons and daughters of God, we have a right to every redemptive blessing that Jesus died for. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Co-signers to a check given to us by our Father. I was down in Mexico. A man came up for prayer. He had a diabetic ulcer that had ate into his bone. He pulled his leg up. I could see his bone through the wound. And they were going to amputate his leg. And I preached that night on the bride's checkbook and told them, people, God had given you a checkbook. Jesus has already signed it, and all you have to do is co-sign it. And the man came up for prayer. And about 2 months later, I was back down in Mexico again, and that man came running up to me. I bought a watch at Walmart, and I took it over there, and the man didn't have a watch. I felt sorry for him. I gave him that watch, and he come running up to me, and he showed me the watch that he still had it. And then he pulled up his pants leg. His leg was completely healed. Oh, God. He just had a dark spot where his leg was, where the ulcer was. It was just a dark spot on the skin, just some discoloration. And he told me through an interpreter, said he went to the doctor. The doctor said, what did you do? Tell us what you did. We have others on the list. We're going to take their legs off with diabetic ulcers. Tell us what you did. We'll tell them to do that. He said, I looked that doctor right in the eye and said, I wrote me a check. Oh, hallelujah. You've got a checkbook today. Write out your check, son of God. Write out your check, daughter of God. Don't look at the symptoms. Look to the God who created heavens and earth. There is no God like our God. Our God is awesome. Our God is great. Our God's a healer. Our God's a deliverer. Look to your God. Look and live. Look and live this morning. Do you love Him? Do you believe Him? I challenge you. Stand to your feet today and give God praise and give Him glory. Hallelujah. 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 Just step around the scarecrow. Just eat, taste the Lord, and see that He's good. Amen. 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 Break off the chains. Shake off the chains of the devil. You're free. He's untied you this morning. Oh, God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Do you love Him this morning? Are you a son of God? Are you a daughter of God? Do you believe the word of God? Then cast down your sickness. Cast down your fear. Satan, no more. Get off my property. He's lied to some of you. He's told you you can never be saved. You've sinned away your day of grace. The devil's lying to you this morning. He's nothing but a bluff. Call his bluff today.
You know what I'd do if I was you? I'd stick my big brother on him. You know who your big brother is? Jesus. Hallelujah. I'd stick Jesus on him because the Word of God says that if I'm faithful to repent, he's faithful to forgive me. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. When it pulsates into your heart, friends. Amen. Do you love him this morning? One of the worst things Satan can place on you is a fear. A fear of missing the rapture. A fear of your husband dying and leaving you a widow. Come on, he does it every day. He does it every day to try to place fear on us. A fear of getting old. A fear, how am I going to pay my bills when I can't get around anymore? Come on, it's real. He tries to do these things to keep you disoriented. But remember, our God is in control. He said he let nothing happen to us but what we was able to bear. But through it all, he would make a way of escape. Hallelujah. He is the chain breaker. He is the way maker. He's Jesus. Just trust in Jesus this morning. He'll give you what you need when you have need of it. Amen. Amen. Fear. A fear. You can't miss the rapture when the rapture's for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you love him this morning? The Brother Branham said the trouble today with the church today is they're scared to death that you're going to make a failure out of something. Well, I'm afraid if I'll try, I'll fail. But you can't fail. You can't fail. We are in Christ Jesus and he is victorious. Oh, there is no friend like the lovely Jesus. There is power today in the name of Jesus. Do you love him this morning? Do you believe him this morning? Then how many of you need to have a need today? How many of you have lying symptoms today that the devil's just been hounding you to death over? Worrying you to death. I'm afraid I've got cancer. I'm afraid I'm going to die of cancer. I'm afraid I'm going to have a heart attack. Don't listen to that. If you listen to that, it's sure to happen to you. But just take God at his word today and said, Father, you said you'd never leave me. You said you'd never forsake me. Hallelujah. No matter what happens to me, you'll bring me out of it. Laodicea don't defeat me, but I do defeat Laodicea. I don't leave defeated, I leave victorious. God creates win-win situations for his people. Amen. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain. There is healing in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is healing in the name. Oh, there is healing in the name of Jesus. To break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's an army rising up. Oh, there's an army rising up. Oh, oh, there is power. Hallelujah. I hear the chains breaking today. House of hell, give way. Let God's people go free today. Free to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Free to love Him. Free to serve Him. Free without condemnation. There is no condemnation to them who are in the strawberry patch. Just step beyond the scarecrow. Start eating of the goodness of God today. Eat the vitamin of Alpha, the vitamin of B for believing, the vitamin of C for Christ, vitamin D for deity, vitamin E for eternity. Eat the vitamins of His Word today. Let it transform your life. Let it transform your body. Let it transform your marriage, your home, everything. Friends, it's all in the name of Jesus today. Do you love Him? Do you believe Him today? Cast down every symptom. Walk out free today. Walk out free today. Listen, here's what I want to do just before we close. We'll turn the service over to Brother Lou. We enjoyed being here this weekend. Amen. I don't want us to lay hands on one another. For the Bible said, these signs shall follow them that believe. You don't know, friends. This week you may get a bad report. This week you may get terrible news. But no matter what we face, you see, things don't happen to Christians. Things happen for Christians. Everything that Satan brings into your life, God turns that around and uses that punch against him. And it makes you stronger. Exercise your God-given right this morning to pray for your brother. We're an army. We need one another. We need to take our wounded off the field. We need to help one another, love one another, lift one another up. Don't say bad things about one another. Say nice things about one another. Forgive one another. Show forth the love of Christ. We're an army. We're a body of believers. And we're going to spend eternity together one day. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ain't got no power, but I got authority. And as a son of God, I exercise my right today to lay my hand upon my brother and upon my sister. Satan and his devices have tried to destroy them. He has sought to rob them of their joy and of their victory and of their healing and of their peace. He's tried to destroy their marriage. He's tried to break up their homes. He's tried to do all kinds of evil against my brother and against my sister. But today, I stand like Shamgar. Today, I take the sword of the word and I come after the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. And I say to you, Satan, you're nothing but a bluff. You're defeated. You're a spineless enemy today. And in the name of Jesus, I curse you today. Come out of my brother, come out of my sister in the name of Jesus Christ. Take your hands off of them. We break you today. We break the chain today in the name of Jesus Christ. Flow through me, Holy Spirit. Flow through me today. I surrender to you. Flow through me today. Heal my brother. Heal my sister. Make the word real. Those on the internet, those that are homesick right now, oh God, may the Holy Spirit go to them, Lord. May you raise them up. May there be great testimonies, Father, because there's power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. And today we hold that banner of the name of Jesus. We hold it over the congregation today. And we plead the blood in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, I cast down every symptom today. I no longer look to symptoms. I look to the word. I believe the promise of the word today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I receive it now. I receive it now. I receive it now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Do you love Him today? Do you believe Him today? Amen. Just step around the scarecrow today.
Eat the good things of God. Eat the good things of God today. Enjoy His blessings. Enjoy His presence. Amen. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you, saints, today. Amen.
Enjoy the word of the Lord this morning. Brethren, why don't you help pray for these people this morning? Brother Gene, all of you, the brothers, help pray for these folks this morning. Let's just sing a little chorus together. Isn't He wonderful? Did you enjoy this weekend? Praise the Lord. Isn't He wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful. Isn't Jesus our Lord? Wonderful. Eyes have seen, ears have heard, what's recorded in God's Word. Isn't Jesus our Lord? Wonderful. Isn't He wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful. Isn't Jesus our Lord? Wonderful. Eyes have seen, ears have heard, what's recorded in God's Word. Isn't Jesus our Lord? Enjoyed Brother Darrell's ministry this weekend. Praise the Lord. Amen. Certainly appreciate him getting to be home with us. You don't get to see a lot of him, but we certainly love our brother. We love the ministry here at this church that complements Brother Donnie's ministry. We're just a blessed congregation. We certainly are. Have you enjoyed this weekend being in the house of the Lord? God bless you. Give the Lord one more good hand clap of praise before you're dismissed. Praise the Lord. Remember the meeting over in Ruth, North Carolina, that'll be starting, I guess, on Tuesday night. So remember that. I believe that's right on Tuesday night. So remember that if you get a chance to go. I'm sure it'll be a blessing in your life. We'll be having service here again, Lord willing, this coming Wednesday night. So we'll just come back looking for what God will have for us. Let's sing it as we go. Isn't He wonderful? Do you mean that from your heart? That's not just a song, is it? Isn't He wonderful? God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus our Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's Word. Isn't Jesus our Lord? Our Lord, wonderful.